across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Right here in the middle of a birthday party on this May 29th. Happy birthday, Wisconsin, 176 years old today. Party favors include Greg Bach in Waukesha and meteorologist Brittany Merlot from Wausau. And nice to have you all along as well. 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number if you'd like to call or text. Ms. Merlot, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, it's gorgeous out here. It's gorgeous on Lake Wissota right now. It's a beautiful day. It's everything we wished we could have had for Memorial Day weekend and didn't get one bit. So go to work, everybody.
Seriously, right?
I got that in D.C. It was 85 degrees almost every day, and I hated it.
You also were walking 8 miles a day as a tourist.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's what comes into it. So Anyway, looks nice today, Brittany. We got that going for us. It looks nice.
Yes, we sure do. The only thing we have out there this morning is some patchy, dense fog in the valleys off into the western parts of the state. Otherwise, high pressure system dominating the day. Like Pat said, it's going to be beautiful today. Shush, Greg. Wait, or is that Pat? I'm like, who's laughing at me?
That was Greg.
That was me. Sorry. Keep going. That was great. Never stop doing that, but keep going. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So beautiful sunshine out there today. Calm winds. The only downfall is going to be by Lake Michigan. You're still breezy, and you're going to have that lake breeze keeping you cooler today into the low 60s, while the rest of the state, we still stay a little crisp into the upper 60s to low 70s today, but we will warm things up as we push through the next few days and into the rest of this week. In this high-pressure system, there's a couple of them just stacked on top of each other, so we're going to see sunshine tomorrow, too. The only thing, northern Wisconsin, Vilas County, Forest, Florence, be careful out there this evening because there is a chance for frost. Temperatures falling to the upper 30s to mid 30s potentially out there overnight. So a cold one, right? Yuck. It is almost June, and I should not be saying anything like that right now.
No, you should not. With apologies to Rob, I missed his note yesterday. Good morning from Tigerton. Today it's partly cloudy and 48. Happy birthday, Wisconsin. It's a countdown to my birthday next Wednesday, he writes. With some dry time, I will be busy on my John Deere lawnmower mowing lawns. It's a 25 horsepower lawn tractor. And he goes on to write, Greg, do you need your lawn mowed? Clearly, he remembered last week's adventure when you had to bail everything that was out there.
Rob, I'll tell you this much, friend. You come on down, I'll mow my lawn. By the time you get there, we'll just sit down in my garage and we'll have a beverage of your choice, whether it's a beer, it's a water, a soda, or a nice juice. You come on down, we'll hang out, and you can give me advice. That's what I'd love to get from you, sir. Advice on good lawn care.
There you go. And maybe he'll bring some treats from some of those places.
Bring tacos.
Where he stops. Yep, bring the tacos. Bring tacos to Kenosha, Rob. That's what we need. Brittany, a question. Diet Sun Drop, he quickly adds. On
Whoa.
Facebook.
Nothing yes. specific, Rob. Nothing specific here.
Brittany, I got a question about lightning for you.
Okay.
Do you use lightning cables for your phone? Do you have an Apple, like an iPhone or something like that? Because we were talking in the last hour.
Did not think you're going there.
How I had to upgrade my iPhone, but it meant they don't use the lightning cables anymore. So Greg was teasing me that all my lightning adapters and cables would be, you know, useless and everything. But I now hold up my trackpad for my iMac here, which I got the little advisory during the last commercial break. Your trackpad is getting low, you know, connected to charge up with your lightning cable. So I fear these lightning cables and USB-Cs, I'm going to be awash in cables for a while. The lightning is going nowhere, Brittany.
Point of order.
Yes, Mr. Bach.
I never made fun of you once for it. I asked you a question. It's the fact of the matter, I was poking fun of the very, very DIY punk rock garage company, Apple, you know, very independent. the fact that every time they think they do something, they think it's legendary and innovative because they think they've done it first when they haven't anything. Mm-hmm. With the exception of the, you know, the iPhone was great. It's great. And I had one for 10 years, but now they're like, we have a great camera. It's still terrible. We have USB-C. We all do.
Welcome, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not Steve Jobs' company anymore.
No.
Rest in peace.
I could talk about that for hours.
Far, far from it. One more question for you, Brittany, because you got no place else to be right now.
I don't think she answered your first one.
Have you ever heard of, in Milwaukee, the Kinnikinnick can opener, the KK can opener? It's a bridge, a railroad bridge.
I have not.
It's called a can opener because you've seen the railroad bridges, very, yep, very heavy duty steel, iron. This one sits a little lower than most. And there's a sign right there, low bridge. But if you ever look up Kinnikinnick or KK can opener in Milwaukee, you'll see that over the years, occasionally semi-drivers will disregard the low bridge sign and the bridge becomes a can opener. Just opens up, rips open the top of the semi.
Yep.
And anyway, the Journal Sentinel headline from yesterday, the Kinnikinnick can opener strikes again,
yep,
as a semi strikes the 13-foot bridge. And lots of photos there of a truck driver having a bad day. So
if you go on Facebook and look up the Swan Slicer, there's one in Wauwatosa as well. That
the Swan Slicer.
Yep, like Swan Boulevard. Names. Yeah, there's a very low bridge, and there are signs everywhere, and there are warnings. But people just are like, "Nah, I'll be fine." And I'm like, "Hey, I'm glad I took out the insurance on this U-Haul."
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, goodness. I didn't think about U-Hauls, too. That would be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Got to be careful on these things. All right. Safe driving wherever you're going, Brittany. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
All right. 7:13 right now. The Brewers lost in extra innings to the Chicago Cubs. The Brewers, have still not scored on Cubs starting pitching. 5 games into the season, the Cubs have now gone 32 and a third innings of shutout baseball against the Brewers hitters. Thankfully, the Brewers have been able to tee off on relief pitchers, and that's how they managed to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth. But prior to that, Cubs starting pitcher Ben Brown went 7 no-hit innings. Craig Counsell would not allow him to take it into the eighth and potentially the ninth, and so the Brewers were able to tie it off a reliever in the ninth, but then the Cubs managed to score 5 runs in the top of the 10th inning. Final score was 6-2. They will do it again tonight, 6:40 at American Family Field. So you can listen starting at 6:05. There are some civic media stations around Wisconsin where you can hear the Brewers. They include WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WISS in Oshkosh, and WCQM in Park Falls. So if you're heading to any of those communities, give a listen to your civic media station in those areas, and you'll be able to hear the Brewers tonight. And then again, tomorrow afternoon, it's a 12:15 start before the Chicago White Sox come to town to continue the series of Chicago teams here playing against the Brewers in Milwaukee. The supporters of former President Donald Trump, including former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, yesterday submitted more than 9,000 signatures in an effort to force a recall election of Wisconsin's most powerful Republican, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Even though if they were to succeed in forcing a recall election, he'd be recalled for a couple of months. And then he'd be running again in the new district because of the new maps, and conceivably right back in office, having not missed anything since the legislature's not meeting right now. But the supporters of the recall effort toward Voss say that it is something to make a statement because of their disapproval of Robin Voss, the way that he's angered them by refusing calls to decertify President Biden's Wisconsin win in 2020, because that's not a thing, and that Voss further angered Trump supporters when he did not back a plan to impeach Megan Wolf, the state's top elections official, who, again, did nothing wrong. But that's not good enough for the former Supreme Court Justice and failed investigator Michael Gableman, who in the photo that accompanies the Associated Press photo is standing at a podium outside of the Wisconsin Elections Commission office. And Greg, have you seen the meme? I wasn't sure where I'd seen this photo of Michael Gableman before, but have you seen the meme of Donald Trump standing outside the White House and there's a kid mowing the lawn?
Yeah.
And he's in a suit just kind of like screaming at the kid.
Yeah.
That's the picture of Michael Gableman. It's got that same energy of, you know, I don't know why I'm here. There's cameras and microphones.
This whole thing is just, we've talked about it a few times on Matt and Air on Air, and I just, they went for a second recall before the first was even like decided on by the courts to say, no, you're not good. This is, makes no sense. They look like Dum Dum Pops to me.
Dum Dum Pops is exactly what Tony's trying to say when he posts on YouTube. I don't like Voss, but this is a great example of the never-ending political campaign and no time for actual governing.
Yeah.
Amen, Tony. Amen. At some point, you're supposed to actually govern. Like, okay, I'm here. These people who are not in my party are here. We're here to work together, solve problems, do good things for Wisconsin, you know, either spend your money efficiently or cut taxes, you know, depending on your point of view. Get some work done.
Yeah.
And yeah, for these guys, it's just the politics never ends.
And if they just look back to the last time he was elected, he was primaried and he didn't win that primary by a lot. So you would think, you know, strategy would say, find yourself a good candidate, run them against Voss in a primary and go from there. But this is just dumb.
That's some expert analysis right there, because I can't top it.
I'll be there. Join me on election night 2024, where I will just be giving one syllable judgments on things. Dumb.
Dumb. Thank you, Greg Bach. But it is. So that's what's happening in the latest in legislative elections. And Greg's absolutely right. You should have gone the primary route where things just might have been successful, even with the money laundering that some of the folks did, thanks to Trump's campaign and some outstate Wisconsin County Republican parties. But that's a story for another time. When we come back, there's a new legal challenge to Act 10. We'll have details on that and unpack some more of the news on this Wednesday morning, live from Chippewa Falls. This is Up North News Radio from Courier Newsroom and distributed by the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
We're going way back for musical history on this date in 1961 from Ricky Nelson with Traveling Man. Remember, you can join the conversation here this morning just by calling 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call the number, you can text it. You can also use the Civic Media app to call or text us as well. Pam Yonke's Midwest Farm Report is just ahead, along with our homeroom segment. We'll be visiting with Jimmy Zawacki from Osseo Fairchild. He's an elementary school principal there, as well as Osseo Fairchild Superintendent Lori Wieland, coming up in just a few minutes here. But as far as mentioning Pam and the Midwest Farm Report, we've got the weekly numbers from the USDA that indicate that the first cutting of hay around Wisconsin is 18% complete. That's 3 days ahead of average, but 2 days behind last year. And we've got a farm right across the street here, up here in the town of Eagle Point, north of Chippewa Falls. And I married into a farm family. I don't envy one bit of, you know, the work, how hard it is. Obviously, it can be rewarding, but I'm watching them try to cut this hay field, and I don't know that I've ever seen a mower, a tractor, a cutter moving that fast, trying to get ahead of the rain, and ultimately did not. Got about, you know, 3-4 passes of the field done before they had to stop because the rain was coming down just too much. But we heard Hans Breitenmoser talking yesterday about that as well, that all the rain over the holiday weekend just did not lead to a lot of field work. And the USDA report notes that Heavy rains reduced Wisconsin to just 2.5 days suitable for field work. Unlike a year ago, there is nobody where their topsoil moisture is, you know, very short. There's, you know, it's about like 2/3 adequate and about 1/3 actually has surplus moisture in the soil right now. The corn planting is about 80% complete, soybeans about 74% complete, oats 90% complete, potatoes 94% complete. So a lot of the field work has been done, but what's left to get done still is being impeded by the rain, and with any luck, they can get that done in pretty short order. And as always, more details from Pam and the team at the Midwest Farm Report along the way, including the full report on some civic media stations at 5 a.m. if you're an early riser and want to tune in for that hour. It's also available as a podcast. Public worker and teachers unions argued Tuesday in Dane County Circuit Court about whether the law that helped break up teachers unions and other public sector employee unions, but not all of those unions, if that law should be challenged, if this new lawsuit should be dismissed or allowed to proceed to trial. It's the first challenge to what's known as Act 10 since Wisconsin's Supreme Court flipped from conservative to progressive control last year with the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost had the hearing yesterday in the case of a motion to dismiss the lawsuit challenging Act 10 so that, you know, this wouldn't even go forward. The lawsuit would be thrown out and there would be no new challenge to Act 10 now that the Supreme Court has flipped control. Judge Frost did not rule from the bench, but said he would issue a written order on a request to dismiss the case. The request came from the legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, but also came from the Wisconsin Department of Justice as well, which, you know, there are some state employee unions that are part of this. Some state agencies are named as defendants. And so the Department of Justice, overseen by Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, is also supporting dismissal of the lawsuit. The unions argued that the 2011 law should be struck down because it creates an unconstitutional exemption for firefighters and other public safety workers. Attorneys for the legislature and the state agencies countered that the exemptions are legal and have already been upheld by other courts. But it leads to this question. When Act 10 came about and removed collective bargaining rights for teachers and for many other public sector unions, but not for these firefighters and public safety workers, was it a case of, well, they could legally do that, the Scott Walker administration and the Republican legislature, could they do that in the name of public safety, or did they do it in the name of political expediency? In other words, the exemptions, the unions that were exempted from being busted, just happened to be the ones that also supported Scott Walker when he was running for governor in 2010. And that is, you know, part of what the judge asked yesterday was, isn't this an equal protection problem? He said, in considering the motion to dismiss the lawsuit. The union attorney said there was no rational reason for some public safety workers being exempt while others are not. If the latest lawsuit were to succeed, after all of these other challenges fell short, all public sector workers who lost their collective bargaining power would have it restored, according to this story in the Associated Press from Scott Bauer. They would be treated the same as police, firefighter, and other public safety unions that remain exempt. Now, again, there were challenges previously, including in 2014, when the state Supreme Court rejected the challenge. The difference is, a decade ago, conservatives controlled the court 5-2. Now it's progressives who control the court 4-3, at least for a little while longer, maybe less than a year, because, again, you have Progressive Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who is going to be stepping down and retiring, not running for another term next April. And it will be the only instance that we know of right now where conservatives could win that seat and win back control of the court 5-4. If they don't do that next year, the next three seats that come up in these staggered terms are all held by conservatives. So conservatives have to defend those seats. They can't build on their majority. They can't take it. So their only chance to take back the court is next April, when it will be an open seat, which is why, if you missed this back when Justice Bradley first announced her retirement, folks immediately were tired. They got really tired, because we have to say again that just like in 2022, heading into 2023, we're going to get to the November election, and you will have a race for president. You'll have Tammy Baldwin running for a third term. You'll have the new legislative lines. You'll have bruising campaigns in several congressional districts, and everybody will be tired. They need Madeline Kahn out of Blazing Saddles just to play the song, "I Am So Tired." But you can't be tired, because just a few months later, in April, there will be a Supreme Court election as vital as the one in April of 2023, where Janet Protasiewicz was elected and it flipped control of the court. So keep this Act 10 lawsuit in mind. Keep in mind the fact that with progressive control of the courts, voters are now choosing legislative candidates under fair maps for the first time in more than a decade. And consider the time between November and April, not a time to be tired, but a time to recharge the batteries and then head right back into it, because that's how important the state is for the civic engagement of Wisconsin voters. All right, we will talk more in our homeroom segment about the school year from an Osseo Fairchild perspective coming up next. You're up north. Over the sea, I remember the night when we walked. Well, I don't care about history. Rock and roll high school. All right, before we get going with today's homeroom segment, let me take care of some business on behalf of all the nice folks that I work with at Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News, and also Civic Media, which distributes Up North News Radio every weekday morning from 6 to 8 o'clock. So for the Civic Media folks, you can ask your smart speaker to play your favorite Civic Media station just by saying play and the call letters. So you could say, you know, play WRJN, or you could say play Bull Falls Radio, and you'd get that station out of Wausau. But also, if you're looking to refresh your wardrobe and support Civic Media, you can check out some of the new merch, the Civic Media store, by heading to Civic Media's homepage, civicmedia.us, and hit the store button in the upper right corner. Meanwhile, for those fine folks at Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News Radio, there are some great informative newsletters that you can sign up for from our regular Friday guest, Kia Vakil. There's From the Front Lines, a bi-weekly rundown of political stories from some of the key battleground states. And from Mark Jacob, we have Stop the Presses, which talks about the ways that political extremism can exploit weaknesses in American journalism and what to do about it. Just head over to couriernewsroom.com in both of those cases. All right, let's get rolling on homeroom for this week as we start to get toward the end of the school year here. And normally, if you've been summoned to the principal's office, it means you're in trouble. And I have a feeling that if principals are summoned to the superintendent's office, that they're in trouble. But I don't really feel like either one of these guests are going to cause us trouble today. Jim Zwacky and Lori Whelan. Jimmy is the elementary school principal in Osseo Fairchild. Lori Whelan is the Osseo Fairchild superintendent. Lori and Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Pat.
No, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. We've spent a lot of the first part of the calendar year on this homeroom segment talking about, you know, policy, political issues, budget issues, the legislature being in session. And it's been really nice now with the session being done to take some time occasionally and just talk to folks who are actually, you know, in the trenches, in the classrooms, you know, driving the buses, serving the lunches and things like that. And so it's nice that you were able to visit with us and just kind of give us a feel for one particular school district, in this case, Osseo Fairchild, south of Eau Claire, for folks who aren't familiar with the area. And so, you know, Lori, I'll start with you as superintendent. As you look back at 2023, 2024, you know, a couple of years now removed from the worst of the pandemic. How are you going to look back at this year? What kinds of, you know, of highlights will you remember from these past, you know, 9 months or so?
Well, we just celebrated graduation a week ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing those are our products, I guess, of our education. And seeing the children go from kindergarten all the way through is a great success story. We've done a lot of great things this year. We opened a year ago our Technical Education Learning Center, a couple years ago now, and it has grown. We have students from around the region that come to the Osseo Fairchild Technical Education Learning Center and participate in academies of welding, construction, and Academy of Nursing. We partner with Mayo and CVTC to offer these unique programs.
Now, these things, again, they're with CVTC. We're not talking a child labor type violation, Jimmy, right? As the elementary school principal, you're not sending them in to operate drill presses or anything like that, right?
Right.
Okay. You know, well, then from an elementary school standpoint, what were some of your highlights of the school year?
You know, you didn't mention coming out of COVID, and that's, I feel like we're truly in like the pre-COVID times where we've back to the programs and having the families back into the schools and family nights. And we've had a lot of fundraisers, field trips. We had a program with our reading series. And so within that, we're learning a lot more knowledge-based stuff. And with that, as some guest speakers are coming in, we're making trips to those locations to learn more, get more hands-on. And so it's truly fun and giving some students some experiences that they wouldn't or haven't generally had in a long time. So it's been fun to see those things happening.
I would say the focus is back on education. You've also implemented Project Lead the Way, hands-on science learning, engineering, robotics club.
Yeah, and we're doing a lot of after-school stuff again and just getting kids more involved again, interacting with each other.
Let's talk about the after-school and the summer school aspects as well, because they're, you know, schools really can be, you know, are a community hub, can be even more so in so many ways, after hours, during the summer, things like that. So talk to me a bit about summer school. And I think we may talk about that over a couple of different weeks here leading into summer, because, you know, I'm of that rapidly approaching elderly generation that remembers summer school as a punishment until I got to high school and learned that it was anything but, that there were some tremendous opportunities there. So can you talk to me from both standpoints, summer school as both, you know, an opportunity to learn more, but also as some remedial catch-up opportunities?
Yeah, we provide both. And actually, Ms. Rossman and this year Mrs. Ryan are kind of taking over the summer school coordinator duties. But then we have Mrs. B and Mrs. Fisher who coordinate a lot of field trips. So we do 6 weeks of summer school, which is some remedial, but a lot more hands-on and fun. This year's theme is the Olympics based. So there'll be a lot of hands-on. And so it's a fun place for the kids. We get a huge turnout throughout the course of the year. Also, due to some grant stuff, we also provide lunch to anyone in the district that's 18 or under. So regardless of summer school or not, they are able to come in and have lunch, breakfast and lunch every single day. But then the summer school, we have field trips. We start actually Friday. We go to Minnesota, the Children's Theater there, and it would be in the first day of summer. And then after that, we have a couple 3-day trips where Mrs. B and Ms. Fisher take a group of fourth and fifth and sixth grade students to different parts of Wisconsin, and they get to experience things that generally they wouldn't. And so getting those back to rolling last summer was amazing for the students. But then just in general, we provide swimming lessons. So we bus them to the Osseo swimming pool this summer, where they get swimming lessons for free. And so throughout that, it provides a little over 90 students get that. And then there's just a bunch of different activities throughout the course of the summer.
So go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, we offer summer school all day long. It is not just a morning or afternoon program, because we have a shortage of daycare. And this really helps the families in our community. We have a high turnout rate. A huge percentage of our elementary students participate. We are also offering summer school for middle school, high school, and our high school kids actually get credit for taking summer school classes. So they get a head start in their academics.
I try, as you know, rarely in segments like this to have to go off on any kind of politically tinged tangent, but you're going to have to excuse me for just a moment because you mentioned the free swimming lessons. You mentioned the free school lunches during the summertime. And it's where I just want to, you know, talk directly to certain local official, certain elected officials, especially at the state level, who might be listening, to say school lunch debt shouldn't be a thing. Shouldn't be a thing. School lunch debt shouldn't be a thing. Let's feed the kids, shall we? Okay, let's continue on now. The opportunities that are out there. And can you talk a bit more about the partnership with CVTC, Chippewa Valley Technical College, on the Tech Education Learning Center, and you know the opportunities there? Because again, I feel like we've made such a nice transition in accommodating and encouraging people on either side of the equation to pursue the liberal arts through a college education or, you know, skilled trades, more so than, again, when I was younger. So what are the opportunities like for folks that are looking to embrace something more in, you know, the technical skilled trade side?
We worked really hard with our local industry in the Chippewa Valley region, meeting with employers in the Osseo, Fairchild region, south of Osseo, north in Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, finding out what they need from their employees. And partnering with CVTC helped us remove the barrier. We have a lot of students in rural Wisconsin that don't get to participate in earning higher level credits. And so by partnering with CVTC, providing this Technical Education Learning Center, we have instructors that come to the students. Same with students that are attending the Academy of Nursing. We sat down with Mayo and they were great, embraced the idea about providing space. And we have an instructor of nursing that comes down right at the Mayo site here in Osseo. Again, we wanna give our students in rural Wisconsin opportunities that students in larger urban areas have. We want to keep our economy strong here in Chippewa Valley, and we want to retain our talent here. And so by giving them, removing barriers, giving them this advantage, we're going to keep rural Wisconsin strong.
Which I would add also gets to the point of, for folks that choose instead the direction of higher education at a, you know, college or university. The whole point of all of these conversations the past 3 years or so about student loan debt relief is, again, opening up pathways, opening up opportunities to wherever, you know, people want to chase their dreams after graduation day. Jimmy, as we, you know, we've talked about the highlights of the past school year. As you look ahead toward the next one, if there were a, you know, a wish list or a to-do list, you know, for public educators there and, you know, writ large in Wisconsin, what are... Nobody, we're not whining here. This is not the complaint box. But if you could have the magic wand, what would be on your wish list for the next school year that might be a little different than what you had this school year?
I think it starts with the appropriate budget. Our staff does an amazing job of providing resources for the students with what they have. But that includes, thankfully we passed a referendum this spring, which is a huge deal and a huge shout out to our community as a whole. But we rely a lot on our community support system, from businesses to families. We had to do a lot of fundraising. We did a readathon. We did our Thunder Parents, which is our PTO, did a fundraiser, which brought in quite a bit of money for our teachers to be able to buy more supplies. We try to provide supplies, school supplies, for all of our students. And we can't do that without the family support. So if we could take that magic wand and get a budget-friendly resource, then we would be able to provide all of those without having to ask the families for some of those or businesses for those. And time in general, our teachers are taking on a lot, and we adopted a new reading program last year. We're looking at math this year because we want to be ahead of the game and provide our students with what they deserve. And so with that comes a lot of professional development and resources. And so trying to have everything available for that, Project Lead the Way, Ms. Whelan had mentioned already, getting more supplies for that. We started a robotics club And so we're trying to be competitive in that. And so with that comes more resources needed, and just having the ability for some other things. We've relied a lot on grants. We really received a security grant this past spring. And so we're looking at adding fencing and some of those things. And with that comes some playground upgrades and stuff like that.
Lori, from when you mentioned, when Jimmy mentioned professional development, it leads to this question. What educators do over the summer? Now, some are teaching summer school, obviously, as we just found out there. But there is professional development that the teachers themselves are going back to school. And yet, I wouldn't begrudge anybody because, you know, for people who are teachers, oh, you want to put your butt in a hammock all summer? I'm good with that. I really am. But do you get a pretty fair mix of people who kind of, you know, relax over the summer versus those who are, you know, engaged in some kind of professional development or other activities?
I would say very few teachers get to enjoy a hammock. They are doing professional development, but besides that, they are supplementing their income. Many of our teachers in our district work all summer long. Either they're teaching summer school or they find a second job.
The other thing, when you talk professional development, we, with the math piece on Friday, is our first day of summer, and that we'll be spending that in the tech center learning the new math program, which will then provide the teachers and other staff the opportunity to prepare for the fall. We also have, you've mentioned a little bit, with Act 20, so a new reading regulations that we have to put in place. And with that comes a lot more professional development. And so we have to help do that throughout the summer and make sure that we're prepared for that as well.
I guess one thing that you said for a wish list, I would say, no new mandates that are unfunded.
There you go. I like that. One other thing I would add, if I could, I know teachers have a prep hour and they actually, you know, work through that prep hour. If we could give them one more hour, and since they don't get it in the summer, I would just go from classroom to classroom with like a portable hammock and just let them rest for an hour. If we could arrange that, I think everybody would be happier. The kids, the parents, and everybody. And by the way, the hammock goes for principals and superintendents too. You guys have earned every bit of it. And I really appreciate you being here, telling us what all is going on in the Osseo Fairchild School District and, you know, hometown districts all over the state. It's so great. Jimmy Zawacki and Lori Whelan, to see you both. Thanks. Have a great summer.
Thanks for having us, Pat. Have a great summer.
And I just wanted to tell all the teachers out there, thank you for making a difference. Support staff. Every day they make a difference for our students and our
To enjoy your summer.
Yes,
I sure hope they do. Thank you again. Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show is coming up next. You're up north.
I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do what you want me to do.
Oh. I'm your private dancer. Couldn't have done better.
Thank you.
The album, Tina Turner's comeback album, this day in 1984, and Todd Alba is here as well, just coincidentally. Todd, I'm looking at the email that I send out at the start of every week, you know, with the link to join the show, and it always goes to the same assorted cast of characters. So that link for the show to join us goes to Brittany Merlot, it goes to Chad Holmes, Melissa Kay, Hans Breitenmoser, Kristen Lyerly, Jim Santel, Luke Mathers, Mark Jacob, Dan Shoup. There's no Todd Alba on this list, and I don't know how that happened, and I apologize.
All those people you listed are both remarkably smarter and more talented than me, so it figures I would find.
Oh, that's not how I. That's not how I determine this at all.
I will say this, that you sent that email out. And Todd sent me the message for the link 2 minutes ago, which means he never opened the email until 3 minutes ago.
Usually
Pat has it like the week before, and I just do a search. I just put, you know, Up North News or Pat Kreitlow StreamYard, and it pops up and I click on it. And I did that this morning. I'm like, well, either I deleted it or it whatever.
But you've been thanked for your service, and conveniently, quietly.
That's more like it. Thank you, Todd. We'll no longer need you at Up North News.
it doesn't work that way at all. How was your holiday weekend?
It was all right. It was all right. Thanks. Hung out in Richland Center a little bit, and then worked a little bit around the apartment and worked on the show. So tried to take it a little easy, but you know, one of those weekends. I watched. You guys watched the on Sunday, the National Memorial Day concert on public television, which is always spectacular and very, very meaningful. And every year, I think, you know, I think I'll be okay in this one. And of course, Bryan Cranston was one of the guest portrayers or actors of these fantastically powerful veteran stories. And about halfway through, the tears started coming. And it's just very, very powerful. And you have a World War II veteran that's there, and Bryan Cranston's telling his story in front of him, and the heroics and the people that they lost, the friends he lost, and he came through it. It makes you remember what the day is all about.
And, you know, Greg was just in D.C. seeing all these amazing monuments to, you know, the men and women who made this country what it is.
Huge parade.
Sacrificed for it.
And as we were leaving yesterday to get on the to walk into the airport at DCA, they were welcoming from Madison a Stars and Stripes honor flight. So I saw I saw a bunch of vets walking through, and the woman just being like, welcome, you're welcome here. Just go this way. The bus is ready. And I just walked up. I'm like, is this an honor flight? She goes, yep. And I got goosebumps because we just talked to Karen from Stars and Stripes in Milwaukee. And it was the interview with her that Jay and I had became emotional. We all started to tear up.
Oh, I absolutely understand. And now we are just days away from the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And that's what does it to me every time. And for me, I think it actually started in college. There was an old black and white movie called The Longest Day. I know I don't remember if they did a remake or not, but what was it, 1963, sure. Something like that. And of course, Saving Private Ryan is equally, so we say, descriptive of what that day was like on the beaches of Normandy. And that these are regular folks. These are regular American kids, who would look at life today and first off be in many ways proud of what they fought and sacrificed for their families, for all those who came after them. But in other ways would look at what we've got now and go, are you seriously this close to taking for granted what I did for you on that beach at Normandy? And I don't, people say, well, don't meld the military with the political. It's like, well, I think that it's very important that people realize the principles, and we just talked an hour ago about this being the anniversary of the fall of the Roman Empire after 2000 years. There's no guarantee that the United States is going to be around for 2000 years unless you work at it.
Well, I think it's very telling too that, I'm not sure you guys saw it. I think it was over the weekend, the great documentarian Ken Burns, who of course has done so much great work in particularly public television, but his documentaries, whether it's the Civil War or several others, have been put on DVD. You can stream them. Ken Burns, to your point, Pat, has been someone who's never really been particularly partisan. But he gave a graduation speech this weekend, and he started talking about democracy, and he said that leads me, I'm paraphrasing, but basically that leads me to a point I did not want to have to go to, and he went there, and he said we have to realize that how close we are to losing democracy, and we cannot sit on this sideline in 2024. There are two choices, and it's very clear, and it was tantamount to an endorsement of Joe Biden. Coming from Ken Burns, I thought that was particularly powerful, someone who, to my knowledge, has never strayed into partisan politics, but it shows you the seriousness of people who know history.
Correct. People who have worked so hard to be neutral, find that they could be neutral no longer. And I don't fault them, because I did the same thing in 2004, 2005, where I said I can no longer sit here and look at the camera night after night and pretend, that things are one way when, I see them differently. And if that's how, he and others see things, especially somebody, a filmmaker like that, or as Tony mentions on Facebook, it was the Audie Murphy World War II movies that, started for him. And I looked up The Longest Day here, 1962, Robert Mitchum, Henry Fonda, John Wayne, Sean Connery, Richard Burton, Paul Anka, many more. Again, just an incredible movie that I would urge people to watch to get a feel again for the sacrifices that were made. And the ones that I'm so glad you talked about with the concert and Greg's trip to be thankful for.
Yeah, I mean, it puts a little rain or other things in your life into perspective, really. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the sacrifices all these folks have made throughout the years, you know, we could all get through whatever things we're facing. Yeah. It ain't D-Day, and it's, you know, not World War II. It's not Vietnam. It's not Korea. And while other politicians may say certain things are their Vietnam or whatnot, it's just not true. And it's the men and women who have fought, and particularly our Gold Star families who gave all, and their families who had to carry on. And it's people who never got to have a dad or a mom or a brother or a sister or a spouse. It's those people who continue to sacrifice for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And again, so greatly appreciated. Anything in particular we should be listening for on the Todd Alba Show today?
Well, this wonderful broadcaster, Pat Kreitler, will join us top of the hour today, along with Trigvi Olsen. So it should be a good time had by all.
Okay. Well, there you go. You've set the bar really high. A good time to be had by all. It's a lot to live up for, but I'll
you can do it. You can do it.
Thank you, Mr. Break Alba.
Broadway song.
Wow. Would you just follow me around and just sing? Air. Thank you.
Yes. Gypsy the all the time.
Broadway hype man, Todd Alba. Love it. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good. Look for that and Joe Zepecki tomorrow. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitler. Thanks for joining us up north on this Wednesday morning. See you tomorrow.